The LA Clippers season, of course, is still over. But Russell Westbrook's future with the Clippers, we don't know if it's over or not. But in this episode, we're going to take a look back at the three phases of Russell Westbrook's time with the Clippers and whether or not I think it's a good idea to bring him back. Also, whether I think it is likely that he will be brought back. Going to be talking about that on today's Locked On Clippers.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, sir. You are locking in with the Clips. Thank you for making Locked On Clippers the first listen of your day. Your team every day. What the heck happened to my voice just then? Sounded like Darth Vader. Oh my God. I'm your host, Darian Vaziri, in my 18th season as a Clipper fan. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Dime Dropper Pod and subscribe to my own YouTube channel, Dime Dropper, where I've gone live basically every single night of the playoffs to talk what's going on in the NBA, and of course, more Clipper content there. And Locked On Clippers is free and available on all your favorite podcasting platforms, including YouTube, where I want you to comment what you think we should do with Russell Westbrook, and the second part, what you think is the most likely scenario with Russell Westbrook. And in this episode, I'm going to be talking about that, but also the three different phases of Russell Westbrook's short but eventful time with the Clippers. And the first part being the losing streak, the beginning. The second part being the winning streak, the post-Paul George part of the season, and then the playoffs. So when we got Russell Westbrook, it was obviously a move that was met with divided opinion, some people being very anti-it, me included, some people very pro-it. But the thing is, when it happened, I did say I could see the vision. I was just not confident in Russell Westbrook's chances or Russell Westbrook's chances of helping the Clippers deep in the playoffs at the highest level of competition, late in games, mainly for, you know, his high turnovers and at times questionable shot selection, as well as Paul George's, you know, timely turnovers as well. So those two things considered, I was nervous about it. But the beginning, it started off rocky. However, it wasn't exactly what I expected. When we got Russ immediately, you know, I was at his debut against the Sacramento Kings. If you go to my own YouTube channel, you can find the video, some video footage of me at that game. And Russell Westbrook, he really made a change right away. Like, you could see the impact that he had on the offense. We really had an elite passer with us. And as good as John Wall is, Russell Westbrook showed me by having both of them on our team this season that Russell Westbrook is a tier above as a passer. The pace on some of his passes in the half court, solid pick and roll passer. And I also think he just looks for the hot hand, looks for his teammates more often. At least he did with us. And I think some of his passes to guys coming off screens like Kawhi or Paul George were right on the money. Some of his kickouts were right on the money. He just showed me right away that having his passing, having his pace, having his ability to get to the basket, given that we have better spacing than the Lakers did before the trade, and he's going to be able to go one-on-one with less help to worry about. I was already seeing that right away. Now, the defense wasn't very good in that first game. Ended up being the second highest scoring game in the history of basketball. But I was pretty encouraged by that game. I will say this, though. A couple of turnovers late did contribute in the loss. You got a little bit of the Russell Westbrook experience there. And then we had that game against the Denver Nuggets, which actually, considering we've been getting our butts handed to us. Can I say asses on this show? I think we can. Our asses handed to us by the Nuggets over the last couple of years, that was probably our best game against them that we lost. I know that sounds lame, but the best game against them that we lost in a while. Losing by, I think it was 4 points in overtime in what was a very competitive game. I'm sorry, 10 points, 134 to 124. That was the game where Marcus Morris was just played in overtime for I don't know what reason, and it just felt like sabotage at that point. Like, seriously. That was not one of Ty Lue's better moments in the season. He put the trust in the wrong guy. But Westbrook showed a lot of why I thought that had we been healthy, we would have actually given Denver a run for their money. Not saying we would have necessarily beaten them, But I think that our biggest thing with Denver was we didn't exploit their biggest weakness, and that's that they have no rim protection. You know, I think Jokic is a better defender than he gets credit for, but I wouldn't say he's good, very good. I think that he doesn't really get off the ground, quite frankly, and I think he's got some really solid point-of-attack defenders this year with Aaron Gordon, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Bruce Brown, and Christian Brown. We're starting to see that in the playoffs. But Russell Westbrook's pace and his rim threat actually changed that matchup, in my opinion, for us a little bit. And I think you start to see the benefits of having Westbrook for that matchup in that game. We lost by 10. It was unfortunate. I didn't expect to beat the Nuggets in Denver. And then I think maybe, you know, what started to feel like, damn it, this was a wrong move, what were we thinking, was the game against Minnesota. I was actually in the third row for that game. That was one of the closest, one of the games that I've been closest in terms of, you know, distance to the court in my life. Top three or four, probably. I don't get to sit like courtside ever like that. And it was an interesting game. It was the beginning of what would be many games where Russell Westbrook would be really good in one half and then not so great in the other half. And in that one, it was that he was really good in the first half, and in the second half, he just couldn't hit a shot. You know, he wasn't a threat from outside the foul line. A lot of shots were short. His defense wasn't that great. And that felt like, why did we do this move? At that point, I was like, why did we do this? Like, he's not been terrible, but he kind of messed up his move. I wouldn't say he messed up, but his move kind of messed up what we had going with Terrence Mann starting and the defensive improvement. And, you know, the games that we saw against Golden State and Phoenix right before the All-Star break and right before his arrival. It was a tough moment. And then it got even worse the next game where we got blown out by Golden State. I mean, that was when I said I wrote off the chances of winning the championship. Because even if we rebounded, and we did, and ended the season pretty strongly, I just didn't think we'd be in the position to get, you know, in a top three position or have the chemistry making a move that big that late in the season. And, you know, that was a really low point, that Golden State game. Clippers lost that one by, 24 points. And then the fifth loss, the lowest point of the streak. No Kawhi Leonard on the next night. Paul George and Russell Westbrook played really well. At the time, it was Russell Westbrook's best game as a Clipper. He did just about everything right. And then the ball slipped out of his hands at the end of the game. And it was just felt like the Russell Westbrook experience. That was what I was calling it at the time. Like, you get a lot of good, but a couple of plays that decide the game and you end up in a loss. And I'm not saying that that's the story of his career or anything like that, but it's just the negative things said about Russell Westbrook kind of have to do with that kind of concept. You know, him playing well, having good numbers, but then there's big plays in the game that just kind of turn the tide, turn the momentum. And at that point, we had lost five straight games. It just felt like we were in the dumps. Safe to say he turned that around, and coming up, going to be talking about that turnaround, what started to turn the tide. But in retrospect, to conclude with that, you know, period, I don't think it was all Russell Westbrook's fault. I think it was just change. And, you know, sometimes you're just not going to move seamlessly through a change like that. Russell Westbrook's a big personality and a very important player that the players and the coaching staff trusted right away because of who he was. So it was going to take time to, you know, for everything to mesh. And also, you know, Marcus Morris wasn't having his best games. That was like peak Marcus Morris in the doghouse on the court, not playing well, no confidence in those games. And that was when, you know, he sat out those two games when the rumors first started about him being upset about being taken out of that starting lineup or, you know, not playing. That was against Sacramento and Golden State. But coming up, the Memphis game where everything changed and you started to see a turn in the tide for Russell Westbrook's career as a Clipper. Going to be talking about that coming up. But before I do that, I got to tell you about eBay Motors. For a championship team, it's all about making sure every player is a perfect fit. It's the same when it comes to your vehicle. Every part needs to fit just right. So the next time you need parts and accessories, head to eBay Motors. With eBay Guaranteed Fit, you can be sure every part you need fits right the first time around. Just add your ride to My Garage and look for the green check to know the part will fit, or your money back. Because just like in sports, confidence is the name of the game when you shop on eBay Motors. And with over 122 million parts to choose from, you'll be back in the game in no time. After all, it's easy to bring home a win when the right parts are guaranteed. Get the right parts, the right fit, and the right prices on ebaymotors.com. Let's ride. eBay Guaranteed Fit. Only available to U.S. customers. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Thanks for making Locked On Clippers your first listen every day. Every dayers, tomorrow on the show, honestly, I don't even know, but maybe we'll get a player grade of Kawhi Leonard's season. I think that may be good. Let me know what you think of that. But let's start with where it started getting good for Russell Westbrook as a Clipper. And, you know, those first couple of games, I thought you saw inconsistent defense, rim pressure very good. The jump shot was a problem. And the thing I said about, you know, before he came to the team, where teams are going to double Kawhi Leonard and Paul George or sag off of Westbrook and leave him open all day. And I thought he was doing a pretty good job of catching the ball and taking the space in those first couple of games. At times, shooting some ill-advised threes, but he was also making it with a little bit more frequency, you started to see. And then we had the beginning of the win streak. So obviously that game against Memphis, Russ didn't actually have the best game, but he did make some big plays, including a big and one at the end. That was maybe my favorite game of the season to be at this year. I mean, it was really cool to be back in the playoffs. I was at game three, obviously. But that vlog on my channel got the most views, the one against the Grizzlies. That was an amazing night just to break that winning streak or losing streak and against Memphis. Obviously, they were very shorthanded, but it just felt good to get over the finish line. And then we started what would be a four-game winning streak. The next game against Toronto, I was also at that one. Russ was pretty quiet, but he was efficient, 3-for-6. And I thought his defense was pretty good. And that was the first you saw of Russell Westbrook being very okay with the team winning and him being on the bench at the end. And that showed me a lot about the way Russell Westbrook was going to act on this team, the way he was going to sacrifice, not be upset. Basically, everything you heard across the hall, that's not the attitude that we got. We got a guy that was buying in, that was supporting his teammates, that looked happy with everything, with the media, with the team. So I think you got to give a lot of credit to the media, to the team, to the players, to the coaching staff for making Russell Westbrook feel comfortable and letting him be himself without having to worry about all the outside noise and everything that came with, you know, being a Laker and being a Laker when they're not winning. You know, it's different when they're winning. And obviously Russell Westbrook was a part of them losing. I'm not going to deny that. It wasn't the right fit. But Russell Westbrook was now starting to become a part of Clipper wins. So when we got that second win in a row, you know, the next game on the schedule, New York Knicks at the Staples Center, solid win again. In that game, another game where Russ basically had the same stat line as he did against Toronto. 7 points, 2 straight games. He only had 5 rebounds and 3 assists and was 3-for-8. So, and only played 23 minutes, just like against Toronto. And again, buying in, not even complaining. And I really love that. I thought he was still fairly impactful in his minutes. And he had stretches in that game where he was good, stretches where he wasn't great. But then you saw the game against the Warriors. And that was when Russell Westbrook really, I think that was one of his better games. You know, his defense was good. That was the game where they were sagging off of him completely and he adjusted by crashing the offensive glass. He had 9 rebounds in that game, 7 assists, 15 points, and he was 2-for-5 from three. And so that was a really big win for us because we were really close to Golden State in the standings at the time. He did that on national television. That showed me that he could exploit when teams sagged off of him in a different way, not just attacking the space in front of him, making a play. He was able to attack the offensive glass. And I started to see, you know, when Westbrook was locked in defensively, he was still a very good defender. It's just kind of about the mood that he's in. And I think part of the Clippers' success when Russell Westbrook came to the team was kind of just contingent on what kind of Eric Gordon and Westbrook were we getting defensively. When we got a good version of those two defensively, I mean, we were pretty good. But Eric Gordon only started starting after Paul George. But that being said, when they played good defense, after Paul George got hurt, but when they played good defense, the Clippers just looked like a much better team overall. And then, we broke the winning streak against Orlando when Kawhi was out with load management. That was really frustrating. Really frustrating. But we bounced back the next game against Portland. Even though Russell Westbrook didn't shoot well, he had 12 rebounds and 10 assists. So you best believe he was contributing. And again, just really getting used to Russ making plays, finding guys on kickouts, getting Zoo involved early in pick and roll. Just, you know, I underestimated, I have to admit, his passing ability. You know, a lot of today's playmaking and getting good shots is kind of based on how good of a scorer you are in the pick and roll and how much attention you're getting or the gravity of your scoring ability, creating looks for other people. And with Russell Westbrook, teams have been going under screens. You know, they've been inviting him to the rim, just sagging off. But Russell Westbrook with the Clippers, because of the help defense not being, you know, sagging off their guys, because we have more shooters than the Lakers did before the deadline, he was able to get downhill and make plays. But also, he started, you know, just the way he was able to find guys coming off screens, Kawhi, Paul George, make good entry passes, and also just, you know, when he makes passes, when anybody makes passes that I'm not even seeing on TV and I get the wide look at everybody and they're making passes that surprise me, that's when you know it's a good pass. And Russell Westbrook had a lot of those moments, and I didn't have those moments with John Wall. I didn't have those moments with – I don't really have those moments with Paul George or Kawhi, even though they're both fairly underrated passers, especially Kawhi, who I think has improved in that department every year. Paul George, I think he was pretty good when he came, has gotten a little bit better, but I think since 2021 hasn't really gotten that much better in that department. But Kawhi, I think he's made some improvements each year in that. Point is, neither John Wall nor those two, basically nobody since Milos – Teodosic makes that many passes where I'm just like, whoa, like that was a dime. And Chris Paul obviously is the one that we had consistently for 6 years, but I underestimated what having a passer, a real dime dropper kind of guy, pun intended, that passes the ball with the sense of, I'm really good at this. Not, I'm just good at this. I can pass. I'm really good at this. I'm passing it right on the money, right in your shooting pocket. You know, finding guys when they need the ball, when they haven't gotten a touch in a while, those kind of things. That's a true point guard. And we really miss that kind of mentality. And, you know, also the leadership off the court and on. Somebody who's a vocal guy. We really miss that kind of emotional leader. And I think Russ brought a little bit of that. But after that Portland game, that was the Oklahoma City doubleheader where Paul George got injured. I mean, we won the next night, and Russ had 24 points and 7 assists on 8 for 13 shooting and 2 for 4 from 3. So he was really starting to get going. Wasn't great in the next game against New Orleans, but I thought he was fantastic against Chicago. 12 points, 5 rebounds, and 10 assists, 6 for 11 from the field. I remember he bullied Patrick Beverley a couple of times. And then came his masterclass, his best regular season game as a Clipper at Memphis without either Paul George or Kawhi Leonard. 36 points, 4 rebounds, and 10 assists on only 2 turnovers as well. He was just amazing. And then in the 4 games in April, he averaged 21 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists on 51% shooting and 53% from 3. So it's safe to say he ended the season showing everybody that the move made sense. Paul George was right. Our naysayers were wrong. But the only thing that mattered, because I never denied that it would be good in the regular season. I just said, you know, it's just in the middle of the season to do that. I don't think it's great for chemistry, which I was right about that. I mean, we lost the first 5 games, but it took some time. Thing is, we just didn't really have that much time. And all he was going to get really judged on was how he played in the playoffs. And coming up, going to be talking about the final stage of Russell Westbrook's Clipper career and ultimately what affects my decision and what will probably affect the team's decision and has affected it on whether or not he should come back. Going to be talking about that coming up. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. It's so easy to get caught up in what everyone else needs from you and never take a moment to think about what you need from yourself. A lot of times people become too unselfish to care about those that mean a lot to them and don't take care of themselves first and foremost. And that's not healthy. I've been there before, and therapy can give you the tools to find more balance in your life so you can keep supporting others without leaving yourself behind. I've done therapy a couple of times. I'm not going to lie. I personally did not find the right therapist until I checked out BetterHelp. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find more balance with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/LockedOnNBA today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/LockedOnNBA. All right, the playoffs, the last step of Russell Westbrook's Clipper career so far. He was amazing. I couldn't believe it. It was his best playoff series since 2017. Starting from that first game where he did not shoot well, it just felt like he was going to cost the team the game with his poor shooting. But he was unbelievable defending KD, making hustle plays, keeping the ball alive on the offensive glass more times than I could count in that fourth quarter, hitting clutch free throws, and then the play, the block off a book, and then knock it off of his knee. What a play by Russ. What a game from Russ. Just amazing in that one. Just the best 3-for-19 game you would ever think of. And then the second game, he wasn't all that bad either. 28 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists on 9-for-16 shooting and 2-for-3 from deep. So his three ball, I mean, he shot 36% in the series. I'll take that all day. 36% in the series and only 41% from the field. Which, I mean, I didn't know it ended like that. It's because the last game really brought it down. That was the only bad game he really had. Game 3, you know, I was at that one. He was really good again, trying really hard. 30 points, 8 rebounds, 12 assists. He had a bad first half. He was turning the ball over a lot. Also had a block and 3 steals, but he was just a beast in that game. 48% shooting, 43 from 3, kept the Clippers in it. But ultimately, Devin Booker and Kevin Durant seemed to be too much. And then game 4 was even better, honestly. 37 points, 6 boards, 4 assists on 17 for 29 shooting and 3 for 6 from deep. Just so good and creating so many good looks. And then in the final game, just 3 for 18, 14, 8, and 8. Finally had a bad game, and that would be it for him and the Clippers, who lost the series in 5 games. But overall, Russell Westbrook played well in the playoffs. He kind of got, I don't want to say a monkey off his back because we didn't win, but he had a couple of years recently where he just didn't have a good playoff series for his standard that season. And this one was just a total 180. He was awesome in the playoffs. He exceeded expectations. And it was just, it made you, you know, so disappointed that had we had Kawhi Leonard, it felt like Russell Westbrook was going to get to the second round for the first time since 2016. I'm sorry, since in a playoffs with fans since 2016. But it wasn't meant to be. As far as Russell Westbrook coming back, I think the way he played in the playoffs validates it completely that I would love him back. I mean, he was so great for morale. I mean, his defense being inconsistent is the one thing that I, you know, that is a little bit annoying. The turnovers, you know, you got to take the good and the bad with Russ. I know a lot of people are just going to not like his game ever. You know, they're never going to like that he's turnover prone. They're never going to like that he's not the best shooter in the world. But he saw, you know, the tape. He had messed up fingers for a while. He finally had the tape removed while he was a Clipper, and he started to see him shoot better. I don't know if that was because of that, but he definitely seemed like he was shooting with less hesitation and less of a hitch in his shot. You know, he had a little bit of that hitch in his shot that he didn't really have when he was younger lately, and I think he kind of removed that. Maybe he was thinking too much. Maybe it was the fingers. I thought for a second it was like elevation related because, you know, he's had some injuries over the last couple of years and stuff and some surgeries, but I don't know. The point is, he started shooting better. 36% is fine, you know? So, is he going to shoot like that for an entire season next year? Probably not, but it doesn't matter. I think his playmaking, his intensity, his vocal leadership, and the ability of Ty Lue to sit him when things weren't going right, I think that was all, and him just being okay with it, that showed the sacrifice that you need from a leader and from a teammate. And I think that Westbrook also, he's so loved by not really Clipper fans, I should say, even though Clipper fans seem to really love the guy. But just when you go to the games since Westbrook came, there's so many people that just love Westbrook too. Like, he's from here. So I enjoyed rooting for him. I really did. That's another thing. You know, part of it is my bias. You know, you got to understand, just because I say I want him back doesn't mean you need to want him back. You could have your own opinion of him. But I'm a Westbrook fan. So I really was happy that I was wrong about him. And because of the way he played in the playoffs, I would love to have him back. Now, will we get him back? I don't know. As Howard Beck said, the guy's made so much money in his career. If he really loves the situation and really wants to win a championship, if that's his number one goal, then stay here. But he has made some statements in the past where the championships don't seem like everything for him. Now, just because championships aren't everything doesn't mean that he won't come back to try to win one. But if bread is the most important thing for him, money, getting as much money as he can, then I don't think the Clippers are going to be the place. Because of the new CBA, we're not going to be able to pay more than like event minimum. And hopefully we'll offload some salaries. Like, you know, the only one I really want to see offloaded is Marcus Morris. It's an expiring deal after next year. And then Eric Gordon not really brought back. And hopefully we get Russ. I don't know all the financial things. So in order to, by the way, so if all you guys are wondering, I want to hear, you know, potential trade episodes, who the Clippers should get. I would like to make those episodes, but I also, you know, there's a financial aspect to these trades, these mock trades that need to be looked at, and I'm not the most cap savvy with that, but, you know, we'll try to get some guests on as well to help with that. But yeah, some of these trades, you know, financially, that matters. You know, you need to go through the finances with them and the salaries, the matching salaries, all that jazz. But anyway, moral of the story, I love Russell Westbrook back. I want him back. I love rooting for him. He was great in the playoffs. Started out a little shaky, but when he got his feet under him, it was fine. It was fine as an understatement. It was fun. It was great, in my opinion. You might disagree. First round exit isn't great, but it's no fault of Russ's. But yeah, let me know what you thought of the Russell Westbrook experience. Do you want him back? What do you think is going to happen? Let me know in the comments, in the pinned comment, I should say. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Dime Dropper Pod. Subscribe to my own YouTube channel, Dime Dropper, for even more Clipper content. The age-old proverb continues, go Clippers! And thanks for making Locked On Clippers your first listen today. Every day or tomorrow on this show, we'll talk about how Kawhi Leonard looked in his first season back. Peace.